when it's happening and why it's so important for men to take care of themselves.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, you know, with the right encouragement, a brother will run through a brick wall, right?
Right.
Just saying. So about 15 years ago, our senior pastor, Dr. Waller, had a vision to create a concept for men to come and to get screened and to know their numbers. And this was right around the time when Tom Joyner had that Take Your Loved One to the Doctor campaign.
That's right. I remember that.
And we thought that was cool. Yeah, that was cool. But we said, nah, that's cool. But let's take it a step further. And essentially what we did was we converted the entire church here at Enon in Eastmont area, into a hospital. And so screenings were taking place. We created a man cave. So barbershops, a domino, pinochle games are happening on that Saturday, chair massage. And what we did was we thought any excuse that a brother may have, saying, hey, I got to get my hair cut or what have you, we wanted to eliminate that, as well as eliminate barriers that men would come, get their, not just their routine or metabolic screenings, but some screenings that they may not necessarily get when they go, if they were to go to the doctor. And so here we are 15 years later, men are pretty much using us as their annual. And so we have perfected the day. And so April 20th, we're just getting ready. We're ready for brothers to come to on a mule and take advantage of all that we have to offer.
Wow. You know, when you think about what you're creating, and I didn't know the story about Tom Joyner and sort of the birth of this idea about creating these safe spaces. But I do think that, to your point about, you know, men will run through a brick wall if they get the right encouragement, you know, if it's the right sister, it's the right daughter, it's the right, you know, someone that says, hey, I care about you. I love you. I want for you to be healthy.
I need you.
Come on now.
Yeah.
I need you. And also being vulnerable. That's hard, I think, for Black men specifically, because quite frankly, I just got off, you know, we got Ryan Boyer was on and we talked about the threat. You know, people, I like to say, people don't try to steal what's not valuable.
And, absolutely.
You know, for Black men, you all are valuable on this planet, right? And so there's this idea, I think, when you speak about your health as your wealth, that that messaging has to permeate the atmosphere, and that's what you're doing. You know, can you speak to, like, maybe the testimonials of some of the men that have gone through Know Your Numbers?
Yes, year after year after year, whether it's a brother who was diagnosed early with as a result of taking a PSA for prostate cancer, we say amen.
Mm.
We've had the same thing happen with a brother with a kidney screening. We say amen. But we've also found that a number of folks are just walking around, and we call them, they're walking around, and they don't realize just how sick they are.
Mm.
So we've had incidences where brothers have had blood glucose or sugar numbers through the roof, or their blood pressure is through the roof, and they feel, as they say, feel fine. But they've been sick for so long, they just think that this is how I'm supposed to feel.
Mm.
So legally, from a liability standpoint, we can't even allow them to leave. We've had to call the ambulance a couple of times.
Wow.
We had to get you into emergency treatment real time, because if you leave here, we're not sure that you're going to survive.
Mm.
That's how acute some of the scenarios have been on our Know Your Numbers days.
Wow. So I want to double click on this word safety, because, you know, for many Black people, we don't always feel safe. We don't always feel like we're in a place where we can both be vulnerable and allow someone to help us. Oftentimes we think, Reverend Miles, that it's not okay to ask for help.
Yeah.
And you speak to these brothers that are coming in, and they've normalized feeling bad, like that's supposed to be okay. And what you're suggesting is that it's not okay to just not be okay forever.
It's not okay to be okay. And there's help out here. So we understand what has been historically with the lack of trust for the healthcare system. We understand. And so for us, primarily the persons who are with us as healthcare professionals are black and brown.
Is that intentional?
That is purposeful. That is very intentional. We want our brothers to see that there are practitioners out there. So whether it is the primary care, Dr. Christy Johnson, who's with us, Dr. Kim May, two sisters, Dr. DeBrady, a Central grad, who's my primary care. These are brothers and sisters of color who are in the community, and they give up their time. Dr. Hodges will be there. Both Hodges will be there doing a oral cancer screening with Temple School of Dentistry. So everywhere that we provide a screening, there is someone of color who's leading the charge, or who's making sure they can have that real conversation, that safe conversation. Or like Keyshawn Johnson, that used to play for the Jets, like, come on, man. Come on, man. And because it's us, it's from us to us, we receive it better.
There used to be, I think, a brand called FUBU, For Us, By Us.
I
remember that.
I wrote it down just before you said it. I promise you on my paper. FUBU, For Us, By Us. Mm-hmm. That's our day. That is our day.
Yeah.
The barbershop, even. The School of Barbers is from Norristown. And they come and they're with us for the day. So we have 10 to 12 barbers who need the time and, quite frankly, do a great job.
Wow. When the men come, Reverend Miles, are they bringing their children? You know, I've been a family therapist for many years, and so I also know that there needs to be a model. Is that part of the model to bring your children along?
We encourage. It's 18 and over for the screening. But for the day, imagine that. Because, again, a brother's going to have to take his son ordinarily on that Saturday to the barbershop. We don't mind him bringing his son. We have video games. I didn't mention that, but we have a ton of video games for the young folks. But while Dad is going through the gauntlet getting his screenings, he either has his son with him, so the son sees, you're right, that model behavior. Or we leave him down in the barbershop. He's safe. He gets his hair cut. You know, it's about 2 or 3 hours that we expect for a brother to spend with us, go through the gauntlet, take advantage of a panel discussion, hang out with the young boy. And then, you're right, model what it looks like to take care of yourself and the importance of that.
Wow. Yeah. You talked about panel discussions. Do you have a lineup of who you're going to be having as your speakers?
Absolutely. We're drilling down on that now, but one of which will be on mental health. We worked with Black Men Heal a couple of years ago and had an awesome panel discussion. It was beautiful to see. There were six clinically trained brothers there having a conversation about trauma, depression, suicide, anger as a secondary emotion. And so that was a few years ago. So we're bringing that back. So that will be the checkup from the neck up. Is one panel discussion. And the other panel discussion is addressing heart disease. You mentioned a number of boards. I'm on the board of the American Heart Association, and we know that heart disease is a number one killer in our community. And so if you're paying attention, LeBron James's son, Bronny, Damar Hamill had a heart issue during a Buffalo Bills game. And so we're just being mindful that younger and younger, our brothers are being impacted by heart disease. And so, yes, there's an endocrinologist, a cardiologist, the PCP, and a survivor to have that conversation around the importance of taking care of your heart.
Wow. You know, the thing about the heart, you know, when you're talking about the matters of the heart,
absolutely,
as I see it, we're talking about our physical being, but all of that includes mind, body, and spirit. And then that mental health aspect of it, because stress, they say, is the new cancer, you know?
Yes.
And so there's got to be a direct correlation between this heart disease that you're seeing with folks that are younger and younger and the enormous amount of stress that our folks are under, specifically men out there in the world that are being constantly under attack.
Absolutely. And so, you know, we can go down that rabbit hole if you want, but you're right. They're on all the time. And the challenges that come with being on, because you just don't ever feel like you can relax. You're right. Has long-term effects on us mentally, physically.
Yeah. Yeah. So are you incorporating, I'm assuming you are, but like mindfulness and meditation or any of those kinds of things?
Absolutely. Even yoga, you know, we have a de-stress room and with aromatherapy and you're right, mindfulness. And we've taught it, we've encouraged it, but we have a yogi that comes and we get into a room and we're teaching techniques for sure. And we also have a depression screening and a couple of other things that correlate to the mental health aspect of it. Well, you're right, we're teaching brothers how to just decompress, not to mention the chair and the table massages that we have there as well. So it is a day. It's a fun-filled day. For sure.
Oh my goodness. It sounds absolutely amazing. I know that, as I said before, the Women's Know Your Number, I think that they've done it twice. So
yes.
It took a while to get to that.
Come on now.
I'm not sure why.
You know why. Because ideally you all do take care of yourself, and we'll have this conversation, you know, for our next event in November. But the reality is we know that you do. So when we created the Women's Know Your Numbers, it was the next level, conversations around clinical trials, conversations around cervical health that you may not have the opportunity to have conversations with your OBGYN or your PCP about correlation between hair and some other issues. So, yeah, it's a different conversation than the men. But, you know, we got to look out for our brothers.
Yeah, yeah. Well, listen, the stronger that we are, I mean, you know,
yeah.
I marvel, Reverend Miles, to be honest with you, I knew you and Felicia before you had children, and then you had your beautiful daughters, and I marvel at the father that you are and the model that you have created as the original girl dad.
One of them.
There are many, but I wonder what your girls say about what you're creating, because that's not just you're doing the Know Your Numbers, but you're also in places that are absolutely needed for our men, for our women, for our children and our families around pastoral care. So can you just as we wrap a little bit, speak to that?
Cause that's sure. Really important. Yeah. Yeah, we're moving, you're right, into spaces, working with pharma and working with the healthcare industry in ways in which the Black church has not historically done that. So we're glad to be invited in those spaces. But I'm encouraged that my daughters are paying attention. The oldest HBCU grad went to Winston-Salem, and she's a geriatric PT, so she's in the health field. She loves her seniors, graduating in May with her her master's in gerontology, but she loves the elderly and caring for them in the health space.
Oh, awesome.
The youngest is graduating from Hampton in May in educational psych, so she loves young people. And so I'd like to think that, you know, whether it's working with seniors on the physical health side or working with youth on the mental health side, that my girls are paying attention, they're picking it up. But I certainly feel like they're taking the baton and they're running with it for their leg of this race.
Yeah.
And I'm super excited about that.
Well, they are picking up what you are putting down, Reverend Leroy Miles.
That's old school. Now, that's real old.
I feel like I'm dating myself a little bit here.
That's that senator talk.
exactly.
Yeah.
So listen.
I dig.
So how can those get in touch with you? And can you say the actual date of the event again?
Sure.
And how can they register?
Absolutely. You can go to our website at enontab.org. April 20th is the day. We're going to put it out on all of our socials, so please follow us there. But it begins at 8 a.m. Registration is open now for participants as well as health professionals who would like to join us. And if not, just send me an email at lmiles@enontab.org. lmiles@enontab.org.
Awesome. Thank you
Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity, and we'll talk maybe a little closer to the event. But just know we're here and we're in the fight.
Absolutely.
Sure.
Keep fighting and keep soaring. Thank you, and making a difference. Appreciate you, Reverend Miles.
You
have a wonderful day.
Thank you. Please be blessed.
All right. Be blessed as well.
All right.
And up next, we're moving right into our Last leg of the show, Philly Speaks on WRNB, or RNB, that is. And I am your host, Dr. R.G. Allen Wilson. We have up next Alexia, and I'm going to say this wrong, probably Jim Bonnier, but you all tell me if I'm pronouncing it incorrectly. But welcome to the show, Alexia.
Good morning. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning. Please tell me how to pronounce your last name.
Dumbuya.
Dumbuya. Dumbuya. I had Dumbuya. It almost correct.
Dumbuya.
Dumbuya. Dumbuya.
Perfect.
Got it. Thank you and welcome to the show. Alexia Dumbuya is the founder and president of Cocoa Life Black, Cocoa Life Inc., and she is a certified doula. She is a woman extraordinaire. I have had the pleasure of meeting her, working with her, and she's even had the pleasure of supporting me in the work that I do in the mental health space. And so I'm elated. I am so elated to have you on the show, Alexia, and have you share all the things that you're doing at Cocoa Life Black, as well as what's coming up, I believe, March 16th. So in honor of Women's History Month and Sisterhood Month, please share with us about the upcoming event. And also, I just want to hear how you got into the space, because this is very important to women.
Oh, thank you so much. And thank you again for allowing me to jump on and share. So, yes, March 16th, we are super excited to host our third annual Black Maternal Health Summit and Expo. And for our maternal health professionals, what we've done is taken that day and taken two of our signature events that we do at Enon Tabernacle and in partnership with them, and we've made it a full experience. So the morning is for our maternal health and public health professionals. But one of the things we recognize is that we come together and we can do some great work. And so while we have all of these great minds together, we want to leverage them in the way of identifying solutions that we can implement within this year, even in some cases. And so the morning we have four work groups. We have one focused on maternal mental health, which we are so excited to have you facilitating and supporting in that area. We have one focused on community activism and advocacy, another that's focused on birth worker workforce sustainability. That means our doulas and other perinatal professionals, how do we make sure that they are in careers that are sustainable beyond generations? And then lastly, we have an interdisciplinary SIM. So one of the things I'll quickly share about this space is that clinicians and doulas who are non-medical are looking to build relationships. We are here to serve those moms, especially in our Black and brown communities. And so in order to do that, we all have to interact as strong members of the care team, just like our mental health professionals. So the simulation is an opportunity to bring these two disciplines together and have us work on case studies together. So that's the morning. And then in the afternoon, we are pivoting to our community baby shower and expo. And that is an experience in and of itself. Last year, we had over 400 people that came through.
Wow.
We have our Bump Boutique, where you can shop new and gently used clothes, a dad den, a respite room for mental health support and encouragement, health screenings. We have a host of exhibitors that are there, games even, and so a kitty corner. And so we really wanted to make it a fun experience for our community of expecting and new moms and birthing people along with their partners. So that's what the 16th is bringing, and I'm super excited about that.
Oh, my goodness. So wait a minute. So you have a dad room, right?
Uh-huh.
So
we have a dad den.
A dad den. I love that. And so,
yes.
In your experience, since this is the second annual?
Third
annual. Have you gotten many dads to participate?
We have. You know, what's interesting enough is and I'm sure you've noticed this too in your work, if you give dads, if you give men a space to show up in, they will do that. We just have to invite them. So that's what we learned. So even when I started in this work over 12 years ago, I was led into this work through my own lived experience, and I'll happily share that in a moment. But what I learned into moving more professionally as a doula and helping to support the space in a more formal sense too, I learned that we can't talk maternal health without talking paternal health, and I learned that from a good friend of mine, Joel, who runs Daddy University. And so from that point on, which was about 5 or 6 years ago now, we're like, we don't talk maternal health without paternal health. And what he helped us to understand is that if you create the space, if you invite them in, dads will come. And so, yes, each year we see more and more dads come, and we let that space be their own. They talk. We're out kind of doing our own thing, too, but we give them the room to be able to share and connect, too.
So I want to double click here because you said something that was an absolute drop the mic moment. You said you can't talk maternal health if you don't talk paternal health. That was like, that was huge, right? Because thinking about moms, sometimes they forget about the dads forget about the moms, but they both come together. You really can't make the baby without both, right?
I know, it's so simple, right? But along the journey, we kind of, along the road, and the best way Joel explains it, he said, for so many years, maternal health was like the women's bathroom. And men know not to go in the women's bathroom for the most part, right? Mm-hmm. And so now we are opening up this space and saying, no, this isn't the women's bathroom. This is an area of health that both parties need to be intentionally included in. And especially because we know the data for women, especially black women, you know, 3 to 4 times more likely to die during childbirth. We are more likely to deliver preterm. And some of the biggest data has shown us the impact of perinatal mood and anxiety disorder, like postpartum depression. And those pieces of that information is where we're finding the hit to the mortality and morbidity rates that are astronomically higher for black and brown women and birthing people. And that's why we have to invite these partners and dads in, because guess what? There, besides the doula, and I'm encouraging, I always encourage every mom and every birthing person to get a doula, pregnant, postpartum, if you're thinking about getting pregnant, whatever. But the dad is there. The partner is there. So why would we not want to include that most integral piece of this process?
Absolutely. That makes total sense. And, you know, when you think, Alexia, about you're entering this space, I think it's really your journey is really important as a model for other moms and other families and other dads out there. Can you speak to how you got into this space in terms of your own journey?
I can. And, you know, so personally, my lived experience 12 years ago when I had our daughter, I remember after getting home, and I brought her home on Thanksgiving Day, and I remember that Sunday kind of everybody leaving, and I raised her as a single mom, and at that moment, when I looked at her, I was like, Lord, why would you trust me with this whole little person? I don't know what I'm doing. And what started to happen subsequently after that is I started to kind of find myself in this very dark place. Now, I did not have the language for it then, but I was suffering from postpartum anxiety, postpartum depression, and psychosis. I was having these very intrusive thoughts, and I was contemplating whether or not my even existence and being here was beneficial to her or not.
Wow.
And was I doing more harm by being here? And I had nowhere to go, nowhere to turn. And I didn't really want to talk about it with anyone, especially at a clinical level, because I understood how family surveillance worked, and not all of the mental health professionals that I had at that time access to looked like me. Mm-hmm. And so I didn't want them to come and take my child. Mm-hmm. But thankfully, I had a friend who was in the space and in developing in the space. And almost 11 months in, she was like, are you okay? And I'm like, I don't even know. And so that sent me on the path of learning more about the mental health support resources that we need. But it's also informing the community. And what I then later realized is how even before that point in time, I remember getting thrusted also or introduced into this world of maternal health when I was just about probably 10 years old, when my uncle and aunt, Reverend Miles and Felicia Miles, they ended up having a loss.
Yeah,
they
lost
one of their babies. And I remember standing there with them. And at that time, I'm, of course, unaware of what this all really means besides there was a loss of a baby. But you start to understand and track, right, where God has taken you through different moments. I was born about two months premature. I was born early enough that I had to be in the hospital for over a month. And so now I'm starting to see where God has kind of woven all of these different pieces together to create this tapestry that now brought me into this work. And so I say I decided to become a doula and really move more fully, even in supporting doulas to grow and build sustainability, because I wanted to become what I didn't have.
Wow. You know, Alexia, when you say that, it really sends chills through my body, because it sounds to me like you were destined to be in the space that you're in even before you had the words to describe what it looked like, not only from the experiences you had personally, but even when you were a child, even how you came into the world premature, that was all being, as you said, woven together in this beautiful tapestry that now has you doing this very, very important work in terms of building families. And right now, the maternal, the black maternal mortality rate is abysmal. It is at alarming rates that women are dying in ways that they should not in the richest country in the world with the modern medicine that we have. And it feels to me often that this has to do with the fact that often black women are not listened to, which I think is the reason for doulas, right? And we're sometimes not even listened to by other black professionals. And so can you speak to the elevation of awareness of your platform to other, to families with regards to advocating for themselves?
Absolutely. One of the things that we talk about in our doula training, and we have had the blessed opportunity to train over 200 doulas across the nation from as far as Alaska to as southern as Florida. And what we have been able to notice in these conversations is that everyone is coming into this space because either their personal or indirect experience, because of their trauma or vicarious trauma in this birthing space. And most of them do look like me, look like us, but a few definitely represent even the non-people of color because they want to support. Maybe they're in rural areas. Maybe they are in communities where there's not a lot of access in maternity deserts, which can be in urban communities, I'll say, too. And so what we have found is that the elevation of this work is, one, we have to be educated on the history of birth work. We have to be empowered. Some of our power has been taken away from us. We've been disempowered in the community because of a lot of these structural racist policies and procedures that have been put in place. And then now that we identify that those are the things, now we have to take that back, and we have to walk in the spirit of what we know this history of birth work to be, our granny midwives. We understand the word doula here in the U.S. because that's the name that has been identified, but it's a Greek word. And so I remember a friend of mine telling me that over the years, that may not resonate with every community because we didn't call it a doula. So when you think about all across the diaspora and even in other communities of color, it may have been called a birth attendant. You may have been called birth support. You may have been called cousin and auntie and sister.
That's right.
We know where we show up. And so that's what we emphasize as it relates to our work. We always share, we are not coming in to speak for that mom, that dad, that birthing person, that partner. We are empowering them and educating them. So the scope of a doula, S-C-O-P-E, is to support, be a compassionate companion, to organize, prepare, and to educate. And we are doing that preconception if we can, encouraging family planning, all the way through at minimum a year postpartum. And we are thankful that some of these policies are keeping up with that. But the reality is we have work to do to build sustainability for doulas. And so what that looks like is Coco Life embarks on a journey where we are, yes, training doulas and helping to support them in their endeavors, but we are also building what we call perinatal health equity advocates. That means they got the doula lens, absolutely, and they are familiar in health plan and health system navigation, childbirth education, and your favorite subject, mental health awareness. We need champions. And so we are cultivating community is what we say, and empowering them so that the model of care that's really emphasized is that village. Yes, it takes a village, but what we're doing is re-empowering our village.
That's awesome. That's awesome. I mean, you are such a wealth of knowledge. I know that you are a blessing to our listeners. My hope is that we would have had more folks call in. The number is 610-538-1133. 8:30 if anyone wants to call in and ask you anything in the last few seconds of this show. But you're also having another event. So can you speak really quickly about the Mombassadors as well as the awards that is happening? I think that's happening in May.
In April, yes. April. Thank you so much for bringing that up. Our Mombassador Awards, this is our second year. And so last year we called it the Mom Benefit Mixer. This year we decided to rebrand because it really is focusing on honoring and recognizing some of those maternal health heroes in our community. And so on April 19th, we are going to be moving into our celebratory experiences of recognizing a host of persons that have shown and exhibited compassion, that have worked tirelessly to help improve those outcomes in Black maternal health specifically, because we need to talk about that. And we are also working to make sure that those organizations that have been great partners in helping us to continue to do the work are coming. So April 19th from 6:30 to 10, that is what we are going to set out to do. And we are also able, you're able to find out more information about the event at www.mombassadorawards.com. Or if you go to cocolife.black, that is also our website and our name, that is what we're doing. World Doula Day, World Doula Week, excuse me, is the end of this month. So we are going to take some time at the end of this month to celebrate our doulas, to give them some spaces of respite too, and just really kind of love on them. So that's what we do. In the work, as we're serving moms in three key stages of pregnancy, postpartum, and compassion for the loss of a child or significant loved one, we provide edutainment programming. So those things, and for us, MOM stands for Maternal Outcomes Matter. Wow. It is one of the ways and pillars that we continue to work within.
Listen, Alexia, you have been a wealth of knowledge. You've given information about where we can find you. Where can people find you specifically if they want to know more?
So me, I am on Instagram as the Purpose Driven Doula. That is what God showed me over the last year. So we all kind of struggle sometimes with identity. And me, even in my 40 plus, I was like, you know, what defines and really where do I identify as it relates to this space? And I was like, this really is my purpose, because as you may have heard, I didn't necessarily start here. So my background was in healthcare and health plan administration. So I did a lot of work on the for-profit side, but when God yields you and pulls you, you just got to go.
Amen.
And so I feel like that's what connected me to the purpose. As far as Coco Life, whether YouTube, Facebook, LinkedIn, or Instagram, we are that. CocoLife.black.
Awesome. Thank you, Alexia, so much for being on the
Thank
show.
Thank you.
I appreciate you, and I look forward to continuing to work with you.
Happy As well, Wednesday. Thank you.
All right.
Happy Women's Month. Bye-bye.
Take care. It's been an honor and a privilege to host Philly Speaks, and I thank my favorite senator, my big brother, Vincent Hughes, for entrusting me to fill in for him and host today. Also, I pray that my other brother from another mother, the late E. Stephen Collins, is proud of who I am doing, how I'm doing in terms of the being the guest expert. I was the first person to be on his show off many, many years ago, and I know he's watching over me. Also, lastly, I want to thank Eric, DJ Tactic, affectionately known, our engineer, for getting me through this first time hosting. And I personally want to thank my husband, my business partner, the love of my life, Morgan E. Wilson Jr., for always having my back in everything I do. You rock, babe. And thank you, our guests, for sharing a wealth of knowledge with us on Philly Speaks. And lastly, we thank you for sharing us this morning with you. You could have been anywhere, but you chose to be with us. We look forward to speaking with you again next Sunday on Philly Speaks R&B 100.3.
And then before we go out, this hour of Philly Speaks has been brought to you by My Philly Lawyer right here on 100.3 WRMB.
Have a beautiful day on purpose from our heart to yours. Peace. We're out.